What are you plotting?
No, Tim was just saying, when we're looking at what's happening.
Now, Public Safety Committee meeting to order. In attendance today are President Karen Hartley Nagle, Councilwoman Kilpatrick, Councilman Sheldon, Councilman Taggart, Councilman Carter, Councilman Smiley, Councilman Cartier, Councilwoman Durham, Councilman Woods, Councilwoman Diller, and Councilman Bell's aide, Karen Barlow, is taking the minutes. What's your pleasure on last time's minutes?
Motion to approve the minutes for September 10th.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Minutes approved. First item on the agenda is ordinance 19-098. It's sponsored by myself and Co-Chairman Bell. Chief, you want to say anything about this?
Good afternoon. This ordinance pertains to our JAG grant money. This is funding I think everyone around the state was familiar with that we will be using for equipment, overtime, and training to help us as we continue to work towards solving crimes and preventing crimes.
Questions, comments from members of council? Seeing ordinance number 19-101, under the sponsorship of myself and Co-Chairman Bell. Chief, you want to say anything about this?
Pretty much the same thing. Again, it's a substantial amount of money that we use and we receive. A lot of this money will be used towards overtime, training, and equipment. We do have several trainings that we've already outlined, the Reed interview, an interrogation school training, street crimes, desert snow, some training related to our tech crimes unit, as well as EDU, our evidence detection unit training. And we will also be using some of this money to purchase equipment, such as ballistic plates, and some other equipment that we need for the police department.
Questions, comments, members of council? Moving on, formation of the Newcastle County Police Department Behavioral Health Unit. Who's up, Chief?
So I brought with me members from my team. I like to use that word, that's Michael and Nikki's word, my team. And so we can talk just a little bit about this. I'm sure many of you saw we had a press conference a couple of weeks ago where we talked about the creation of this unit. We're very, very fortunate that we were able to get a substantial amount of grant funding to help us get this unit off the ground. We're going to be primarily focusing in on behavioral health as well as the mental health. And what we found out during the course of dealing with both of those issues, the substance abuse and the mental illness, is that this is a significant issue and a problem that we have within Newcastle County. And because of the high volume of complaints that we deal with and individuals we come into contact with who are suffering from one, if not both, of these issues, and us being the ones who are responding to the 911 calls, we saw that there's a need for us to actually have units and officers as well as civilians teamed up so that we can go out and we can address these issues. So we saw the, and everyone here is aware of the success that we've had with both of those. However, we felt that there was a need for us to take it to the next level, and based on the successes that we've had so far, we were able to secure this grant funding, which is going to allow us to build out the first behavioral health unit within the police department here in the state of Delaware. It's going to be a heavy undertaking. I have with me Captain Treadwell, who has been picked and selected to oversee this behavioral health unit. It's going to require us to hire many civilians to work alongside of our police officers as we go out here to provide the services. So, with that being said, I would like for Captain Treadwell to come up. I'm not sure if everyone here knows him, but John Treadwell has been on the department just as long as I have been, and he's done a great job in terms of dealing with our veterans response team, our crisis intervention team training, our crisis negotiation team. And so he has a background in this and a passion for it. So I would like for him to come up, and he'll be able to explain to you just in a short detail exactly how we're going to build this unit out and what we expect to achieve later. John?
Okay.
thought he would be taller.
Good afternoon, Captain John Treadwell, the Newcastle County Police Department. Again, I have my team here, Officer Colleen Kearns, who was presented before council before, Alex Schofield, Lori Kane, who's written the grants, and then Lieutenant Alan Herring. They're all part of this team, and what my goal really with this is, and the rest of my teams, is to make this program so successful that at the end of the grant time, that both the county and the state will see the need to fund these positions in full. As we know, we started with the grant initially, then our grant funding did run out. Luckily, we had Alex Schofield, who was a graduate student at Widener, that saw the program in the news, thought it was so successful and popular, she wanted to be a part of it. So we created an internship program that then allowed us to continue until we were able to apply for the additional grant funding, and then we're fortunate and blessed enough to receive the grant funding. So again, what we want to do under the Hero Health behavioral side is hire two civilians. One will be a mental health professional, the other will be a case manager to manage those caseloads. And then under the Hero Health addiction side, we're going to hire a nurse, a mental health professional, a child victim advocate, as well as a case manager. And that will allow us to be able to expand on what we're doing now. It will allow us to take the program from a Monday through Friday program, that's day work, and then we flip to evenings, to a Monday through Saturday, where we'll be able to have a team going out in the day, as well as a team going out in the evening, so we'll be able to have a greater impact on those. And we know it's going to be a lifesaver on both sides of the equation. We see the life saving for the Hero Health with all the stuff that we've been doing and training the community, training our officers. On the mental health side, it's the same. Every time you have to send a police officer to somebody in crisis, the odds of a use of force go up exponentially. So with this team, Colleen and them, we've been able to stop repeat calls, having to go to the same house over and over again. The other big part is when we look at the dollars financially. Again, when you're going to a person in crisis, usually that's going to be a minimum 2 to 3 car response, as well as a supervisor. Well, again, if we're able to limit those responses, there's also cost savings to the citizens of Newcastle County. So all in all, it's about life saving first and giving people a quality of life. It's providing coverage for a very underserved community on both the addiction as well as the mental health side, which we realize we can no longer look the other way as a police agency or as citizens of this state when we know how many persons are in crisis every single day. Many who may not realize it, other who realize it but don't know how to go get treatment. The biggest thing is us providing resources not only to them, but also supporting the families who, when you're dealing with someone who's either in addiction, also suffering from mental health crisis, those families are suffering as well. And many times they don't know where to go to get the help and the resources. And that's going to be what the design of this team is going to be all about.
Questions, comments, members from council? Councilman Clark.
Thank you.
Cartier, I'm sorry.
That's all right. Typically, what kind of mental health issue are our police, getting involved in? Is there a kind of a very typical situation, or is it run the gambit? I mean, can you just describe?
Yes, sir.
Those kind of calls.
It can run the gambit, and again, I can have Colleen come up and deal with the specifics since she's out there day in and day out. But again, our biggest thing is our officers don't need to be able to roll up on scene, see something, and diagnose it. What we need them to be able to understand and realize is that's not normal for a normal person. We then want them to give themselves some time and distance. So again, it lessens the need for us potentially to have to utilize force. We don't want to agitate them. If they can recognize those things, then it's a win, because now we have not only Colleen's team, which are out there responding to actual calls in crisis, but the other aspect that law enforcement didn't have previous to this team is follow-up. You have HIPAA, you have some other things that obviously if it's exigent circumstances, then we get the info, but what about thereafter? Most times in the past, from my own personal experience in the field, these people are cleared from the ER before we finished our paperwork, and we never get to see, are they engaged now with the proper team? Have their medications been adjusted? Through this team and having a mental health professional now on our side, we have access to that information through the mental health side, and then are able to make sure that these people are engaged in their teams. Colleen, if you want to come and address the councilperson's question as well, please.
Yeah, so there's no real, typical call that we go to. Last week, we went from dealing with three people suffering from dementia, to a kid with autism that was fighting with his family and didn't want to go to school, to a guy that's suffering from schizophrenia and is off his meds and he didn't have access to medication because he was incarcerated for a short period of time, so he lost his benefits and then re-upped his benefits. So that's just 1 week. And then we did some follow-up for a couple of the councilmen that asked me to check on people in their community that's not doing well. And we have done two of them last week, and we'll continue to work with those people to see if we can get them in some kind of support.
Thank you.
So it's kind of the case that people just dial 911 when there's a crisis, and we're supposed to roll up on every kind of situation. It's not necessarily a criminal situation.
That's what policing has become for us. Yes, sir.
I just said that's the whole purpose of...
Who are you?
Vaughn Bond, I'm sorry. the whole purpose of having this unit, as you can see across this country, there are more police departments. I actually saw an article last night where there's another police department that's doing a very similar program, because we are getting those calls, and for years we've been getting those calls. And when you look at the uses of force on individuals who are suffering from mental illness, you know, one out of every four people who are shot and killed by police departments, they found out that the person has suffered from mental illness. Many times it's untreated. And so again, as we said, the whole purpose and goal of this is to make sure that we're aware, because we've had some individuals who've called us 60, 70 times in a month, you know, calling 911 repeatedly. So being able to go out there to their house and to be able to talk with them, but more importantly, talking to the family to get them the assistance that they need, the less times that we go there, the better off we are, that we don't find ourselves in a situation where we have to use force. There was an officer who was just convicted yesterday, I think, for actually shooting an individual who was suffering from mental illness. This individual, he confronted him, and it was him and another officer, where this person had poured a flammable liquid on themselves and was about to set themselves on fire. And one officer discharged a beanbag round, and this officer fired his weapon and shot the man three times and killed him. And they found him guilty yesterday. And so it's a tragic situation all the way around. So our hope is that we're able to go out there in the same, you know, efforts that we put forth to identify suspects. We want to identify those individuals who are suffering from mental illness, and by having this unit, we'll be able to do that. And then once we identify these individuals, get them the help that they need, so we don't find ourselves in a situation like this or like that.
One other follow-up, if I could.
Of course.
So explain how this response would be triggered over for a mental health over a, you know, just a typical police response call to 911. At what point do you engage with the mental health coordinator? What is the way that gets deployed?
Yeah, well, what ends up happening is every day they're out there. They have one day where they're going to try and do administrative stuff and follow up, but other than that, every day we're going to have these teams that are out there. They're listening to the radio. They hear that call. They're going to respond to that call. That's the key of having them paired up and actually out in the field. In addition to the two teams, right now in the county, we have also 62 people that are crisis intervention trained. Every year, with the assistance of the National Alliance on Mental Illness, we train an additional 16 officers a year to get additional training in how to handle those who are in crisis, in addition to the Veterans Response Team training, which is done twice a year. And again, the county has the most officers in the state that are both CIT and VRT training, because again, this is something that we value and we take seriously.
Thank you.
I was going to say, I've called on the resources at least twice. One time, I did have a constituent who was really exhibiting behavior, just aberrant behavior that I had not seen before. And Mary Lee called Officer Kearns to have a contact, which was successful. I mean, I don't think we've heard from her except in very appropriate ways at this point. But I just think this is the best thing that you guys have done in a long time. And I'm so thrilled that this is happening because, you know, there are people, you know, when you go out to community meetings, I mean, we had another one that we referred to you guys because there was a woman who seemed to be having a lot of drug addiction issues and had an animal that was running loose. I mean, there were just multiple issues there, and the follow-up is greatly appreciated. And I think that, you know, as council people,
you know, we're going to be in community meetings where we do find these people who, you know, if you get reports at community meetings or even, you know, excessive contact that you're getting, that's a clue that somebody may need a visit and need some assistance. So I'm really grateful for your existence, and I just feel like it's the right way to deal with things. Not all of this requires a police response, although I think it's really wonderful to have the connection between the police and the mental health professionals.
Thank you. Well, let me say this, Captain. I can visibly see and I can hear the excitement and enthusiasm in your voice, as well as that of your colleagues. And I appreciate, respect everything you've accomplished to date and everything I know you're going to accomplish. So stay on the battlefield, and I think, I don't speak for counsel, but from what I'm hearing and not hearing, I think you had a total support, enthusiasm of this counsel. And we stand ready to work in partnership to be able to assist wherever we can. So that's on behalf of counsel. On behalf of Jay Street, I appreciate everything you're doing, but as a nation and as a state, not enough being done, number one, to keep the crap that's killing people out of the country, and number two, not enough being done as it relates to prevention. And when you have to deal with mothers and grandmothers who are losing children and grandchildren to addiction, generally it's difficult, if not impossible, for them to recover, and some of it's just so unnecessary, it's ridiculous. So I encourage you to stay on the battlefield, and I'm going to fight with some other people about some other things and some other ways.
Thank you, sir, and thank you, counsel.
Next on the agenda, update on current staff and levels.
Jay.
I'm sorry, sir.
Yeah, Mike Konecki, Chief Administration of Technology. So my team, the procurement team, is working with the police division in advance of the grant coming through the formal process to make sure we can get the grant, the RFP on the street for these professional services. So as you approve the funding, we try to have that line up as quickly as possible, not further delay the process. So council will see the RFP going out for the services that are needed to support this team as a professional service RFP, just so that we're prepared when you appropriate the money.
You're right on point, sir. Thank you very much. Now, can I go to the update on the current staff in the 911 center? Chief.
Good afternoon, Jeff Moore, Chief of Emergency Communications. And I sit before you today telling you that as of 6 weeks ago, we've hired nine people for 15 vacancies that we had acquired over a long period of time. I can tell you that the process getting people hired is far more expedient today than it was the last time I was in front of council discussing staffing. And that's due to the remarkable work of our HR. They have really just put it in the forefront to make sure that our positions are being hired, and we appreciate that from the administrative staff as well. Of those nine, four of them came from our last Citizens Academy. So they're well-versed in what to expect as they move forward in their career in emergency communications. We put four offers out last Friday, and we have two vacancies within the fire medical dispatch that would then still be vacant as a result of a recent retirement and a recent change in their thought process and how they wanted to be involved in public safety. They'd rather be in field response than in the telecommunications side. So with that, we still have a list that we can use, and we should be able to fill those two vacancies quite quickly. The people, the individuals that came in from our public class, they are already on phones right now in just 6 short weeks, and they are being monitored, though, but they're all trained in their three different protocols. But the fact that they've had the telecommunicator course, it takes 40 hours out of the beginning of the training process because they're already certified to begin answering emergency phone calls. so we're in a much better situation than we were nine, almost 10 months ago. Any questions? We do intend to continue to publicize the public safety operator position because it's the only one we technically hire from the outside, unless there's not enough individuals willing to, from inside, go to dispatch. We're going to try to do that advertisement twice a year, so there's an anticipation that we may be doing the Citizens Academy twice a year as well.
Councilman Smiley.
Yeah, I know you've been doing an outstanding job of stretching the dollar, and that's my question. Do you have adequate funding for the next class?
If you were willing to assist in that class again, we would greatly appreciate that help.
Get a grant application.
Yes, sir.
All right. Any other questions, comments from members of council?
Does anybody have anything under other? Councilwoman Quebec.
Thank you. I just want to talk a little bit about what's been going on over the past couple of weeks. We, as a council, are not involved in police negotiations. We know that. We get it in the end after they've been settled. But I've recently had people talk about the road signs that are going up, about first-class service, second-class pay. This weekend, postcards were going out. The postcards were asking, it was a help wanted, and they were asking for a new county executive. So I believe at this point that the negotiations have turned political rather than just the funding and the health care that goes along with them. I think this council, and I believe I, have supported the police in almost every endeavor that they've had and with any issue that they've come to me with. But I'm not happy that this looks more political now than it does just negotiations. So I am going to be asking the administration, I want a breakdown on all of public safety, in who starts at what salary in all three branches, in the paramedics, the 911, and the police. I want how soon they can retire after that, when they start getting their benefits, what the health care is different in the police department than what it is for all of the other Newcastle County employees, if it is in fact. And I think that, at least for me, I need to have answers when we start seeing the back and forth in the news journal, the back and forth on WDEL, and I'm not sure that it's fair to anybody in this county for this to be publicly out there in this fight. We look like we're divided within this county, and I'm not sure that we are. As council, I believe, tend to work well with the administration for the most part, and I believe that over the years we have been fair to all of the employees within Newcastle County. This has taken a different turn than any other negotiation that we've seen, and I, for one, am not happy with it.
Any other comments, questions, concerns, anything else under other? Councilman Smiley.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
We're out of here.
Great job.
That is the fastest public safety.
You may. We might keep.
When we go back.
I was going to say, you might be permanently.